world so that he gave his only Son, the lost to save all who would in him believe should everlasting receive. Christ Jesus is the ground of faith. Suffered death, finding him alone, are built on this chief cornerstone. God would not have the sinner's death. His Spirit in the Word doth teach how man the blessed goal may reach. Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which thou hast done, and justified by Jesus' blood, thy baptism grants the highest good. If thou be sick, if death draw near, this truth thy troubled heart can cheer. Jesus saves the soul from death. This is the firmest ground of faith. Glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. In thee, O blessed Trinity, be praised now and eternally. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O come, let us worship the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is our great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O living bread from heaven, how richly hast thou fed thy guest. Thy gifts thou hast given, have filled my heart with joy and rest. O wondrous bread of blessing, O cup that heals our woes, my heart this gift professing, in thankful songs o'erflows. For while the faith within me by this food my soul hath gazed upon thee, my highest only good. My God, thou here hast led me within thy temple's holiest place, and there thyself hast fed me with all thy treasures of thy grace. O boundless is thy kindness, and righteous is thy power. While I in sinful blindness am erring up by hour, and yet thou comest not spurning a sinner, Lord, like me. Thy grace and love returning, what gift have I for thee? A heart that hath repented and mourns for sin with bitter sighs. Thou, Lord, art well contented with this my only sacrifice. I know that in my weakness thou wilt despise me not, but grant me in thy meekness the blessings I have sought. Yes, thou wilt hear with favor the song that now I raise. For meet and right 'tis ever that I should sing thy praise. Amen. Amen. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. Our feet have been standing within thy gates, O Jerusalem. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. The Old Testament lesson for Lectare, the fourth Wednesday in Lent, is written in the 16th chapter of Exodus, the second book of Moses, beginning at the second verse. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when you prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, for what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said unto Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spake to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say unto them, at twilight you shall eat meat. In the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said unto them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as he can eat. And you shall each take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people did so. They gathered some more and some less. But when they had gathered it into an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as they could eat. And Moses said unto them, "Let no one leave any of it till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle lesson is written in the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, beginning in the 21st verse. "Tell me, you desire to be under the law. Do you listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are the two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present-day Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those who have a husband." Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as, at one time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. So before the Sabbath, they were to gather twice as much manna as on any other day. And on any other day, if you gathered twice as much, it would stink and breed worms, but not for the Sabbath. And this really is the beginning of the sort of ensconcement, if you will, of an idea of the Sabbath. And Sabbath in Hebrew means a day of rest, right? God wants man to have a day of rest. In fact, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, Jesus tells his disciples later on. The day of rest, the word Shabbaton means it is an abstract form of restfulness. And it is also applied to the holy day later known as Rosh Hashanah, right? And also to the Feast of the Tabernacles or Sukkot. However, the weekly Sabbaton or Sabbath and the Day of Atonement are different. Right, the Day of Atonement, the Rosh Hashanah, the Tabernacle are designated as Shabbat Shabbaton. They are a day of the highest degree of rest from which all manner of work is to cease. In Hebrew, melachah. And it is prescribed on the Shabbat Shabbaton to do any work at all, any laborious work. It's all forbidden because it is melachah yavadach. But on ordinary Sabbaton, or Sabbath, it is okay to do little things of work as long as we are generally resting and hearing God's word. That's the way the Torah presents it, at least, right? So you're okay if you want to go putz in the garden on Sunday afternoons or make cookies, if that's your thing, ladies, that you like to do, or men, on the Sabbath. You're just not supposed to do what you normally do the rest of the week. You're not supposed to do your normal job. And yet, God reminds us about the Sabbath, that it is very important. That's the reason why it's the third commandment, right? Remember the Sabbath day in order to keep it holy, which means that we should fear and love God, Luther writes, that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it, right? We're not to despise preaching and his word, but gladly hear and learn it, which is why we are to cease most activities on what we call the Sabbath today or the Lord's Day today, right? Because it's hard to hear God's word, and it's hard to learn what God has to say if we're so exhausted from our normal working, or we're so busy doing our normal working that we don't have really taking the time to think about and to take in what God is saying. That's why we need a Sabbath. That's why we need a day of rest to be with God. And God takes that day with us, right? That's why God did all work on for 6 days, and on the Sabbath he rested. Right. Now, the question is asked among Lutherans because, you know, we're always wondering about this question. Is the ordinary Sabbaton, does it exist now? Right? I remember when I was in Bowling Green, there was a weather guy, his name was Skip Church, right? Kind of a neat name, right? Skip Church. Something we like to do sometimes, don't we? Skip Church. And so, you know, can we skip church? Because is there really a Sabbath? I mean, are we breaking a commandment if we skip church? Like the weather guy in Bowling Green back when I was in elementary school? And the answer is yes and no. Because it's true that the Hebrew ritual laws were abolished by Jesus Christ himself in the New Testament. Because Jesus made it really clear that the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Right, Matthew 12, verse 8. And when his disciples were plucking grain on the Sabbath and eating the corns, right, and the Pharisees said, pointed out that, you know, they're breaking the Sabbath, you know, Jesus said that they weren't. Right? They weren't breaking the Sabbath. So I guess it's not food prep, at least, is not breaking the Sabbath. But yet, are we sinning when we despise preaching in his word? And the answer to that is absolutely, we are. Absolutely. When we skip church, we are ignoring God's word. We're despising it, and we're ignoring his sacraments and his gifts and his real presence in the church. And that is not something that is good for our immortal souls. It's not. It's not at all. Because while the Sabbath, the Hebrew Sabbath, was abolished, the Christian Sabbath was established. It was established. Religious services were. In fact, the New Testament church, from its earliest inception, even from the Gospels themselves in the book of Acts, records that all Christians gathered together on the first day of the week. Now, the last day of the Roman week was Saturday. That was the Sabbath. And it was a national Sabbath for all religions, was on Saturday. Right? But the Christians gathered on the first day of the week, what the Italians call Domenica, or we call Sunday. The Lord's Day. Literally in Italian, it's Domenica. It's the Lord's Day. It's God's Day. Right? And that's when they gathered. And they gathered to confess their sins in prayer, pray and preach and hear God's word and receive the sacraments. And this goes back to the very, very first century. This goes back to, you know, like 30, 33, 34. We have a record of this. Right? Because we read about how on that day, the first day of the week, the doors were being locked for fear of the Jews, which are at that point the opponents of Christianity and Jesus. Jesus came and stood among them and said unto them, "Peace be with you." That's John 20, 19 and 20. That's right after the resurrection. They're already having church on Sunday. It's right there. Because Sunday is the day of the resurrection. And so the ancient Christians from even the apostolic period met on that day to celebrate the sacraments, receive God's word, to preach, to pray, because every Sunday, every Domenica, as the Italians would say, is a mini Easter. It's a mini Easter, right? We see the same thing on Pentecost, the day that the church, the New Testament church, is fully ratified and totally implemented. On that day, they were all gathered together in one place, when suddenly there came upon them from heaven a sound like a mighty wind. That in Hebrew would be the Ruach Adonai, the wind of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared and rested over each one of them. That's where the mitre hat comes from, by the way. Rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to preach in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know the rest of the story. Everybody thought they were drunk because they were, you know, they're all preaching in other languages, you know, because like Americans, they don't speak many languages, but all of a sudden they're fluent in a bunch of languages. And they're preaching the gospel so that everybody in Jerusalem for the Passover was hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, declared to them in their own language. So the New Testament church began on a Sunday. And for the last 2,000 years, the New Testament church has met on what we call the Lord's Day. Now, is it the Hebrew Sabbath technically? No, it's not. The Seventh-day Adventists are right on that regard. It's not. Doesn't matter, though, because the church recognizes the day of the resurrection as the recreation of the earth and the beginning of Christ's reign as a resurrected Savior. And so we meet on the day in which he was resurrected. It is greater than the old Sabbath, in our opinion, in the opinion of two millennia of the church fathers. And to ignore it, I would assert, is very unwise. very unwise. Because St. Paul declares that if you are a Christian believer, if we are Christian believers, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as has become the manner of some, Hebrews 10:25, which means basically already the time of Hebrews 10 was written, already Christians are not going to church. Already. And I know I'm criticized. I know people criticize me for, well, all he does is talk to me about going to church. That's true. Sometimes I have to. It does become a bit frustrating for me too to do that. I would like to talk about other things like baseball or something. But unfortunately, if you're not receiving God's word and you're not receiving his sacraments, then I have a duty of care to try to remind you of that. That's what my boss has told me to do, to gather the lost sheep. So if you want to talk to me about other things, please stop being lost. Fair enough? And we're to continue, in Acts 2:24, it says that we are to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, that means coming together for church, and the breaking of bread, which means the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, right? Because they had Holy Communion every Lord's Day. I know, because some churches, they say, well, we do communion every first and third or fourth and, you know, fourth and first or something or whatever, or every other Sunday or whatever. But, I mean, they were having communion every Sunday, every Sunday. That's what they were doing. And I kind of just think that if the apostles did it, maybe we should be doing the same thing because they were closest to Jesus and kind of understood his mind better than we do, I would assert, after two millennia. Right? Yes, according to Acts 20, verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16:2, the earliest Christians observed the first day of the week. You can look it up. And we, I believe, would be wise to emulate their example because God's word is not written for just any old reason. It's written for our benefit and our instruction. Because we need to have our souls regularly nourished with Jesus' life-giving, eternally life-giving body and blood, as well as his words of eternal life. We need that. Our souls need to be fed with that. We need that. Because he is a God who desires that we come and be in his presence. And that's the reason why Jesus says in John 8:47 that he who is of God hears God's word. And you, therefore, who hear him not, are not of God. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. I pray that he will not say that about me or about us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Be with you. Lord Jesus, receive these gifts to the truth and ultimate the preaching of your holy gospel. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
We praise thee, O God, we acknowledge thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship thee, the Father everlasting. To thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To thee cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. All the earth and heaven are full of the majesty of thy glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise thee. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise thee. The noble army of martyrs praise thee. The holy church throughout all the world doth acknowledge thee. The Father of an infinite majesty, thine adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. When thou tookest upon thee to deliver man, thou didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin. When thou hast overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Thou sittest at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that thou shalt come to be our judge. We therefore pray thee, help thy servants, whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered with thy saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save thy people and bless thine heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify thee, and we worship thy name ever, world without end. Vouchsafe, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us as our trust is in thee. O Lord, in thee have I trusted, let me never be confounded. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Unto thee have I cried, O Lord. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. O Lord, hide thy face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Vouchsafe, O Lord, this day. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us. Hear my prayer, O Lord. The Lord be with you. We pray for Godfrey Parsons, too, who is in hospital in Houston and is not expected to live the next several days. Almighty and everlasting God, the eternal salvation of them that believe, hear our prayers on behalf of thy servant Godfrey, who is very sick, for whom we implore thy aid and mercy, that he, being restored by thee, may render thanks to thee in thy church. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same by thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.